So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Today's message is worship and community. We're honored to have our guest speaker, Jim Cheng, to speak for us today.
Thank you, Bill. Welcome. Sorry, I... Good morning. You guys seem so far away. You guys want to move up? Come up. Sure. Otherwise, I'm coming down. No. Whatever you guys, where you guys are, that's fine with me. You guys, I just want to say a note. Pastor Paul Lam was my counselor when I was in high school. I won't date him. So I'm just happy to be here. And then later this morning, I was cruising around downstairs and just checked out this church out. And then I ran into my long-distance cousin, Christina Chung. And I go, "Oh, yeah, that's right. You..." Yeah, so I was kind of, it's like coming home again, you know? I've never been to this church, but this is it. Anyways, a few years ago, I met Pastor, your pastor, Andy, and I got a chance to chat with him, introduced to me by my twin brother, Keith. I don't know if you know him. No, he's actually a lot younger than me. He's at the Pacific Grace, Vancouver, right? So I take it you guys have some interaction between the two churches. But anyways, I met him and got a chance to find out he's from LA. Oh, it's cool. I lived in LA for a year, and so we could end up chit-chatting and stuff like that. I thought this guy is pretty cool. I talked to Keith after. He goes, "Who's this Andy guy?" Right? He's really cool. But anyways, I'm sure he's finishing his fifth year here. I know he's doing something good here. And then you're still here. That's something good here, right? I just want to affirm him. But anyways, I don't want to blab too long because I am watching the clock behind me, in front of me, rather. A few years ago, my wife and I went on a trip, leaving our two children behind with the grandparents, to a trip to Israel. Have you guys been to Israel? Any one of us? Good. It was a life-changing experience for my wife and I. We always talk about wanting to go to this trip, but we decide, okay, we're going to do this. And then I found this, you Google, right? You know, things, you know, that's what we all do these days. And I found this Christian tour organization. They'll take people, whatever, to these trips. So okay, to go to Israel on a tour, you want a Christian tour guide kind of thing, right? So when you hit those biblical spots, you want to kind of relate to the scripture. So I go, yeah, naturally want to go with a Christian's tour. And then I found out that, hey, they offer pastoral discount. Oh, perfect. You know, it saved us pretty good, a lot of money, actually. But anyways, we went, and I was one of the pastoral, I think there were four pastors on that trip. We assigned to this bus. It's called the Green Bus. Great. And there's four pastors in there. And dynamics, it's from all different people from high school to, you know, retire, right? So we have different people, backgrounds from, mostly from the United States. So anyways, here is the community we'll be spending the next 3 weeks with on the bus. And I don't want to get into too much detail, but I just noticed there's a guy. He's a big, huge, kind of army-looking person, just right behind me on the bus. Usually, once you get on the bus, you always go to the same spot, right? You sit in a, you know, it's your comfort zone, so to speak. So he's always behind me. So I you know, after you know a few days into the trip, I go, I want to talk to this guy. I want to check out this guy. He's a young man. He's I found out he's 19 years old. He's traveling with his mom, and so I just, you know, he's a typical teenager with a headset, iPhone, listening to this, whatever, right? And during mealtime, he would sit either with his mom or by himself, right? So no, doesn't want to talk to anybody, it seems like. But you know what? I'll make a point to talk to the guy, right? So it's just kind of sad to say, hey, what's up? Where are you from, right? And then he goes, oh, I'm from Texas, right? So you have a southern accent. I really enjoyed talking to this guy. Next thing you know, he just blew up his life to me, right? He's like, he was sharing with all his desires, what are you gonna be doing? Like his struggles, everything, really. I goes, wow. You know, I slow down, buddy. Anyway, so I just listened to the guy, right? So as he go along, we, you know, every time we go on the bus, he would say, you know, just slap, slap, high five, that kind of thing, right? So we develop a friendship. And then, you know, throughout the trip, and I took the initiative to introduce Dalton, that's his name, to him, to the people that I met during on the tour as well. So, hey, this is Dalton, meet so-and-so, da-da-da. Next thing you know, he's pretty much mingled throughout the bus, right? And slowly, my wife and I watch this guy change right before our eyes. So much so that during the trip, of course, we hit different biblical spots, but when we hit the River of Jordan, guess what? He decided to get baptized in the River of Jordan along with his mom. I got blown away. And then, and at the end, when we say our goodbyes, her mom came and hugged me and goes, you know, big mom, right? You can hug me. It's not a bear hug. And then he goes, hey, Jim, thanks for, you know, get my son involved, talk to my son, da 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 da. All I said was, you know what? I just approached him and I just talked to him. And that's all I did. I didn't preach to him. I didn't, I didn't do anything really. I just listened and affirmed his faith. That's all I did. God did everything else. You know, a lot of times we think that we have to do this and do that. We have to change people. We have an evangelistic program, and then we have to change that person. No, all we have to do is bring the person, or that's it. You know, and then so what happened here? Has Dalton opened up to me? Little that he know that he's actually opened up to God as well. He began to change. God began to change him and affirm him. This picture is what is spiritual transformation. This is spiritual transformation. My wife and I were through and grew in with this single relationship with his guy too. We change, not only him. See that? See this community experience here? It makes perfect sense when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said, to the least you have done it unto me, you have done it unto my brethren. It makes perfect sense. It's all about within our interaction in the community really brings about spiritual transformation. Jesus' ministry on earth was to gather his people for himself, thus salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, Paul described how God has called the church to bring gospel and truth to the ends of the earth. So really, our involvement here at church has everything to do with, one, our spiritual growth, and secondly, our fulfillment of his purpose. This community right here. Not too long ago, my son, he's 14 now. A few years ago, like I think he went to his 12th birthday party, to his friend's 12th birthday party. There was half of his class were there in this party, and the close family friends. So we, you know, they were mingling, running around. During the dinner time, my son was sitting by himself inside while all his friends were out in the patio, you know, eating and having fun. My son in the kitchen, by himself, eating away. In the kitchen table, I was helping in the kitchen, right? I goes, Jonah is his name. Typical, rebellious. So he's in the kitchen. I goes, hey, Jonah, what's up? How come you're not eating with your friends out there? And then he goes, well, nothing, Dad. I just want to be here. Well, I know better, right? So he goes, I knew he felt awkward, out of place, alone. And he did not enjoy the party at all. And then later, after dinner, he goes, Dad, can we just go home now? I mean, I knew, right? So I goes, no, all your friends are there. You know, all your buddies are here. Why you want to go home, right? It's your friend's birthday, your best friend's birthday, right? And I goes, and then, of course, time for the father and son kind of chat, right? So after that, regretfully, he went out there after dinner, right? So he got involved, like, playing with the games and, you know, football, whatever, right? And then he found his joy again, seems like. You know, he laughed and he was a changed boy. He ended up connected with everyone, and on the way home, I asked him, Jonah, how was the party? You know what he says? He goes, yeah, it was awesome, Dad. It was the best party ever. Okay, you know what? We're like that at church. We are like that at church. We do our own thing at church. Many of us don't want to be here. You know, we're here a lot of times, maybe our parents or our friends trying to drag us here. Church is boring. Many have negative views on the church. We criticize about everything. And more hurtful, we criticize others within the church. You know, and but that's not what church is all about. I want to take us to Romans chapter 12. It's a beautiful chapter where Apostle Paul, I believe, speaks about a relationship with God. It's practiced in community. Therefore, I urge you, verse 1, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather than of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith of God has given you. It's this whole message here, it's not about me and God. The whole message here is about us. Attitude, us, perceptive toward our community. When we talk about worship, we think about what we are doing right now. We have singing, we got worship, we got called to worship, you know, we got everyone together, and then we starting to do this, right? And we have prayer, we got scripture reading, we have message here, we respond, we got all that. All that combined worship, and then we leave? No. As important as these attributes are, all the attributes in worship, as important as they are, I don't think it really matters to God. But I think what matters to God It's our relationship with Him and with each other here in worship. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The fact that I'm praying, am I really praying? The fact that I'm worshiping, am I really worshiping? No. I hope you know what I'm getting at. The more I connect with each other, really, I could say the better worshiper I am. You know, I am so glad that Andrew, I'm trying to get all the names here, asked us to greet one another, right? Before the singing. I'm glad he did that. You know why? Because that dynamic, that little event would draw us together. See, the worship, I do a lot of worship leading too. And I'll tell you, the dynamic of the worship flips dramatically when people start interact with people. And once they start greet one another, who they're singing with next to them, you know, kind of break the ice kind of thing. All of a sudden, the singing seems to be louder, worship, people get into it more. Why? Because this is how God works in community. Why does it have to be in worship? Why can't I be at home, you know, click a button, I have good preaching, good music, right? Why do we have to be here? Because we need each other, the community, because transformation begins here. That's why it's so important when you take communion that we examine ourselves, make sure we don't have anything against each other. Go ask for, beg for forgiveness first before you come to the Lord's table. Why? Because there's that spiritual component within the community, within what we participate in when we pray, when we come to communion, when we worship. Because God wants to change us. He doesn't want us anything else to distract us. So when we come together, this holy place, holy congregation, because God is in here. See, that's what this book is all about. We come together, worship God as living sacrifices, right? Our act of worship lies in how we offer up ourselves to God in community. Spiritual act of worship, then, really, how you live your life, how you are connected with this community God has put you in. And Paul continues, so what do we do here in this place? Here it is. Verse 4. Just as each of us has one body, many members, and these members do all have the same function. So in Christ we are many forms, and many form one body, and each member belongs to to all the others. We have different gifts according to grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leading, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. A theologian once said, Christ did not build the community to serve the people, but the people to serve the community. Really contradict how we think. We may say, well, the church served us. We come to the church, here I am, entertain me. We come to the church, serve me. You know what? A lot of us think like that. have that mentality. It does. I'll tell you, if that's, you're going to get disappointed, you're not going to like it. You're going to find church boring. You're going to leave the church. You're going to have, we won't find any meaning in this at all. Because our perspective needs to change to what Romans chapter 12 is referring to. Meet my needs, entertain me, serve me, teach me, feed me. Recently, I met a pastor who said the only reason why one of the members of his church can't still go to the church is because of the food. I go, wow. What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying, get involved. You have gifts. Every Christian here have gifts. If you don't know why, simple. You're not involved. You have special gifts. I believe God gave each one of spiritual gifts. I don't know what yours is. I know what mine is. If you don't know what it is, it's because you need to find out by involving yourself somewhere. My young daughter is 11 now. Wouldn't know she had know how to sing, and she starts singing, right? So get involved. That's what Paul's saying. How do you this is Paul encouraging us to get involved with worship and with this community. And how do we approach our community then? Love must be sincere, verse 9. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient and afflicted, in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. See, I mean, there's so many things you could do. This is how we approach them with our gifting, pretty much. That's what he's saying. Which is with sincere love. Love other with authenticity. Devote one to one another. Honor one another. Share with those who are in need. Practice hospitality. My daughter, school, she goes to a Christian school called Richmond Christian School. And one of the projects they're having right now is ICC, supporting ICC, International something Christian. Yeah. Yesterday, she went around the neighborhood. What it is that they're in support of children who are abused and who are in needs. So she went out and to the neighborhood and asked for sponsorship. So she collected. Her goal is to reach $350, and. So she went around the neighborhood and got $275. Good for her, you know. And I was so proud of her. And she really have a heart for people. Like, you know, at 11 years old, she's a special girl. I love her, my little daughter, very much. But that's what we're talking about here. Love others with authenticity. Love others who are in need. This is what churches is. Maybe not all of us could go out and get $275, but there's other ways you can serve. What is your gifting? Right? But the point is that are you out there loving with authenticity? Are you devoting yourself to each other, to others? So here's Paul. affirming us, encourages us, you know, the spiritual act of worship, it's not just the time of what we do here. It's the living a life of worship. Whether you're at home, you're at school, in your workplaces, or even at church, you ought to living out a life of living sacrifice, a act of worship. So in other words, no matter where we are, act of worship. How do we do this? So our spiritual gift is all constantly in practice. With loving others. With authenticity. But Paul doesn't stop here. Paul said, well, you got to love. But yet, he's going to the next point. You got to protect your love. You got to protect your attitude. You got to protect that love for God, that your love for others. You got to protect that. How do you do that? How do you protect your spirituality? Here's the next point. Number 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people in low positions. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone with evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. But if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coal off his head. So what's Paul saying here? You got to protect your spirituality. You know, the minute you have negative thoughts and negative feelings about someone, or you know what, your spirituality starts hitting down. Paul is saying is that encourages us here. Here's instruction that call us to. You know what? Protect it. Take active role in protecting your spirituality. How do we do that? Well, you look at people who despises you or basically love your enemies. People you don't like very much. Well, find ways of liking that person, of loving that person. Well, it irritates me. Well, find ways of finding good about that person and affirm that person. Maybe that person needs to be changed. It might take your encouragement to help this person change. I don't know. See, Paul is giving us a different perspective of how to interpret this passage. I've just touched on it, by the way, but hopefully I give you a different perspective approaching this book, this patch, at least this chapter. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So what is Paul saying here? Be humble. Have a selfless attitude. No bragging. That's upholding yourself, really. Don't talk anybody down. Or gossip about someone who's that something that's not true. Do not take revenge. Treat people you don't like with respect. That's a human being. Right behind those eyes, that soul, stands Christ. Love them. My time is up, and I want to conclude with this. It's not my work. It's something I found. And it says, I ask God. I want to conclude this. And I think it depicts what I wanted trying to say this morning. I ask God to take away my pain. God said no. It is not for me to take away, but for you to give it up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole. God said no. Her spirit was whole. Her body was only temporary. I asked God to grant me patience. God said no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It isn't granted, it is earned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said no. I give you blessing. Happiness is up to you. I asked God to spare me pain. God said no. Suffering draws you apart from the worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said no. You must grow on your own, but I will prune you and make you fruitful. I asked God for all things that I might enjoy life. God said no. I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things. I asked God to help me love others as much as He loves me. And God said, ah, finally, you got it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time and place that we can be here. Thank you for the moving of your spirit. And thank you for breathing through this passage to us, to our soul, that we can listen and be reminded or challenged of your truth, of your scripture, of your word, that how we need to change our perspective and how we should live as Christians, as children of God. And so, Father, we pray that you'll continue to mold us and to make us like you. Lord, some of us have come with different burdens and heartaches and headaches too, and soul ache, relationship that is broken, maybe with spouses and friends at school or workmates. And Father God, we just want to pray, Lord, that help us this morning to with the understanding of your word, Romans chapter 12, that it would give us a different perspective in how we deal with our troubles. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, and we ask for your guidance, your spirit to enable us to live, to love, and especially to love our enemies. Father, we just want to ask, Lord, that your peace will be with us and that passes all understanding. That whatever we do, we do it for the honor and glory of your name. Help us, Lord, to live as living sacrifices. Lord, the minute we think of our own interests, we fail to honor you. Help us to focus on you. That way, we will perceive others differently. So, Father God, we ask for your blessings. Ask for your spirit to walk with us and never to leave us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.